Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Talitha Williams, your faith-based community nurse, and we're in the trenches again, talking about health and wellness. And I do hope and pray that you have been blessed, and that things have gone well for you, and that you have remained healthy, safe, and blessed, and you're weathering the change in the weather without much ill effect. And so we just want to get into what we're going to be talking about tonight. And my topic was based on what we see going on in our society today, recent events. We know that we've had a lot of upheaval. We've got the Israel-Hamas war, and we've got Ukrainian war, and you've got mass shootings, and you've got suicide, you've got people, and I mean prominent people dying from substance abuse or just all kinds of issues. And so it tends, when you see so much of this back to back, it becomes overwhelming mentally in processing all of this information and so and all of these events. And sometimes, even though you're not directly involved in it, but just the fact that you are witness it either on social media or on the TV or just by word of mouth, sometimes it can be quite overwhelming and affect your mental status over a period of time. And then sometimes with this overwhelming information, it can sometimes even desensitize us to what is happening in our society. And if it desensitizes us, then we're less apt to intervene in helping each other. And so so in the wake of all of this information, I think it's important that we address the mental health issues which exist in our society today. One of the things that I am finding out is that we cannot just rely on the medical establishment and our government. As churches and as individuals, we need to intervene at whatever level that we are able to do so, whether it is, you know, kind of listen to someone and point them in a the right direction, where they can get help, or, you know, sometimes people just need somebody to talk to them, or not just talk, but just to listen. The other thing, too, is important is that intervention does require that, you know, when there's a significant change in a person's behavior or personality, you know, just that part of us has been lost in the fact that we are more mobile society. We're not as a close-knit community as we used to be. And, you know, a lot of that has been lost. A lot of our connection has been lost because we don't have that anymore. So we want to talk about what is mental health. And mental health really includes our emotional, our psychological, and our social well-being. So we must be emotional, psychologically, and socially well or healthy. It affects how we think. It affects how we feel, even how we act, and it really does determine how we handle stress and how we relate to others and the choices that we make. I was thinking about the gunman that did the mass shooting in Maine, and just listening to all of the information that has been put forward is, number one, he should have had access to VA counseling. And the other thing is that the family said they tried to warn the police department about his change, so they were aware of it. You know, this is the thing. It takes everybody, when we have this kind of issue going on, it takes everybody to be involved, because his change in his mental status, I don't know what stress he was under, what stresses he was encountering, but if you don't handle those correctly or appropriately, it does produce a negative outcome. You know, mental health is important at every stage of our life, and it starts from childhood, even adolescent, and throughout our adulthood. Over the course of, you know, your life, if you experience mental health problems, your thinking, your mood, and your behavior could be affected. And there are times that each of us may have some challenges in life, and it really affects us significantly. But if our mental health is stable and positive, we can usually work through those issues. It is when we do not have a positive mental health, and we become so overwhelmed that we're just not able to make the right choices. We're not to make, do the right thing. That's when it can have a negative impact. All of us at some time will experience some stresses in life. None of us goes through life stress-free. And these times that we are stressed can disturb our mental status. And we have to have the ability to handle the stresses in a appropriate manner, because if we're able to, we're going to be stressed. I mean, life is not stress-free, but our ability to handle these stresses indicates that our mental status is healthy. And that's what it needs to boil down to, is that we have a healthy mental status. You know, mental health is important because positive mental health is crucial in our function in today's world because it profoundly influences every aspect of our life. Mental health impacts your thoughts, your actions, your interactions, and it empowers us to navigate challenges, but we're able to, if it is in a positive way and we're able to handle it positively, we can build meaningful relationships and we're able to make informed decisions. And that's what I say. Once it becomes overwhelming, that is where we get into issues, and that's what we're seeing, that people are overwhelmed with pressure of life. They're not able to process information in a positive way so that they can make a meaningful decision. I was looking at the 2023, and it says that 21% of adults are experiencing at least one mental illness. That's roughly about 50 million people. You got 55% of adults with mental illness that have not received any treatment. And then when you're looking at severe mental illness, then you're looking at, you know, psychotic disorders, bipolar, or severe anxiety, or even eating disorders that significantly impairs functioning. I can't remember who, but I think some person who is an actor or well known, talking about her eating disorder. So that's an impact on your mental health. In 2020, they found out that 32.1% of adults experienced both mental health conditions and substance abuse. We know that we have a lot of PTSD, depression, and substance abuse in our veteran population. And also in 2020, suicide was the second leading cause of death for children ages 10 to 14. And I think where I had read something that really right now it's still second, not necessarily among the youth. When we have depression and anxiety, which is severe enough, it does impact our economy because we have lost productivity, and they estimate when it's in its severe stage that we have roughly $1 trillion loss in productivity. So mental health is just very important for our society, and we just need to work together to help those that are experiencing this, and even the ones that are not experiencing it to the degree that it's severe. Just be there for them. We did see an increase in diagnosis of depression and anxiety and suicidal ideation during the COVID-19 pandemic. And that was because, you know, we're social people, and during that time, our socialization on a physical presence was significantly decreased. So it's things that we need to talk about because we talk about it, it doesn't cause or increase mental health issues or diagnosis, but it allows individuals to seek help, you know, because now they recognize what is going on. Nationally, 21% of adults experience mental health conditions. So when we look at age groups, young adults 18 to 25 in the United States have the highest rate of experiencing mental health conditions, and that's followed by ages 26 to 49. They're at 25%, and adults over 50 are the lowest at 14.5%. I was looking at other statistics, and how does it relate in terms of race and ethnicity? And, of course, these things are usually changing, but when you look at individuals of multiracial, you're looking at 35.8% who have mental health conditions. When you look at non-Hispanic whites, you're looking at 22.6%. And when you're looking at non-Hispanic, American Indian, Alaska Native, you're looking at 18. And then when you look at the Hispanic and Latino population, you're looking at 18.4. So we can see that there are differences when it comes to ethnicities. Now, I looked at a mental health quiz, and I thought it was quite interesting. I just took the quiz because just to see how much I knew and found out really I had all the right information. And one of the things it was talking about is poor mental health increases your risk for long-lasting or what we consider, chronic physical conditions. And they mentioned like heart disease. Well, poor mental health increases the risk of all of those things. When you look at mental health diseases or illnesses, it's very common. And it is, as I said, suicide is the second leading cause of death among people ages 10 to 24. I was really surprised. We have, and of course I live in a very rural area, and we had a gas station, of course, that had been here for years in this area. Of course, it was a locally owned, it wasn't a chain or anything. And so this family had run this gas station for years and years and years, and they sold it to a young man. First of all, they could only sell, like, the service station part because, the car repair part of it because it was divided. They sold gas and, of course, groceries. But then they had the other side, which was just for, like, car repairs or vehicle repairs. And they was renting out the vehicle repair part of it. But they really wanted to sell the whole thing. And so finally they did find a young man that bought the whole thing, and he converted over to a complete just auto repair shop. I noticed, and they hadn't been open very long, maybe several months, I don't think, maybe 6 months. And I noticed that it had been closed down. There was nothing there. Nobody was doing anything. And I happened to talk to one of the veterans I know, and he said the young man committed suicide. That's why there has been no work done there and you don't see anything. So, yeah, it is very, it's real. We don't know what's going on with people. You know, I can remember when I had to have my fireplace redone. I had to put in a new insert, and that was super nice. And he told me, he said, if you have anything, don't call the company. He said, oh, you know, if I knew the name of the company, he said, just call me, and I'll just come out and check it. And so I had some issues with it, and I called, and I called, and I called, and he never called me back. So finally I called the company, find out. They said that he had committed suicide. He said that, you know, he hadn't come into work, and so somebody went to check on him, and there he was in the driveway where he had committed suicide. And so sometimes you and I've experienced this because I had a lady I worked with at the hospital. None of us ever noticed anything. She hid it very well with her very upbeat personality, but she committed suicide. So, you know, it's very prevalent. Mental illness can be treated, and the thing with mental illness, when we look at your mental health, it's an important part of your overall well-being. You know, a lot on the physical part of us, but mental health is also part of our overall health and our overall well-being. If you know someone that has poor mental health, you can reach out and let them know help is available. You can either help them access mental health service, and you can help by learning and sharing the facts about mental health, especially if you hear something that isn't true. And this helps you to be a more productive person in helping people who have mental health problems. One myth about mental health is that people with mental health are violent. Not all people with mental health are violent. So that is false. A lot of time your mental health people turn their anger on themselves. Half of all mental health illness can occur before a person turns 14 years of age. And that is why it is so important that we really be aware of the youth of today, because realizing that a lot of youth have a lot of issues, and then sometimes they're not in families that are traditional or that are in tune to the needs of the youth. You know, you have some single family homes where they're struggling just to make, you know, ends meet, to get things done. So we have to always look at that. When you're looking at serious mental illness, it costs America, in terms of lost earnings per year, about $193.2 billion. And that's because people are just not able to function. Yeah, mental illness can be caused by several different factors. There could be biological factors. There could be stressful or traumatic life events, and also long-lasting health conditions like heart disease or cancer. And I know that when I did diabetic teaching, one of the things that we did is we scheduled our diabetics with mental health, because diabetes is a life-changing experience. And so we wanted them to see mental health, because that was important in them making the adjustment necessary by being mentally healthy and discussing any issues that they had. A lot of time, people that have significant heart problems, also mental health is very important, because it changes some of the way that they function as individuals, and it can be depressing. You know, I can't do what I used to do, and so these illnesses like that, diabetes or heart disease or cancer, it changes what their ability is. Sometimes they have to limit certain things that they love doing. And so it's important that mental health is intervened. The last thing I want to talk about, okay, remember I said at the beginning that we cannot just depend on medical and government intervention. Everybody has to intervene, and one of the interventions should come through faith-based agencies. I got churches. It is when they did the research, they showed that that religion gives people something to believe in. It provides them a sense of structure, and typically offers a group of people to connect with some beliefs. And these things help have a large positive impact on mental illness. And the research shows that having something to believe in and connecting with people that that believe reduces suicide rates. It reduces alcoholism. It also reduces drug use. So the church body is very important in helping to deal with the mental illness of our society. It does not mean that they don't have to seek medical help, but we can help to intervene, because we can provide a positive influence on their mental status. When they did the research, it was reported that in tune with your personalities, it can reduce the tension and anxiety, and it can diminish self-blame. It can stabilize their emotional up and down, and it can improve their self knowledge. Just being in a group of people that are positive, it makes a big difference in your life. And that I know a lot of times what we're doing, where we're teaching people within the church, we express them, especially our young people, you don't need to hang around people that have negative attitudes. And so with being together in the church and people with positive attitudes, it significantly improved the health of individuals' mental status. They have done studies and they found that elements of the Christian faith and practice benefit those even though they do have psychotic disorders and depressions. It can increase their happiness and resilience, and it can decrease the risk of substance abuse and suicide. We had a young man, and he comes, he's in and out, but he comes, when he comes in, we are aware of his mental health problems. Not everybody in the church, but I guess they can tell by the way he acts, but some of us are aware of that. And so we deal with that. And, you know, for a while he does really well, but at least when he comes in, we try to provide as much positive impact as we can to influence him to work through the issues that he has. And come out, he said, I'm doing better today. And, you know, it's just because he knows that we really care about him. And that is one of the things we have to realize when we have these people in. Yes, you have to be aware of their mood swings and the things that they do. But the other thing you have to do is to not ostracize them, but, you know, to be as positive as you can. We don't let them disrupt the service. We've had people that come in, they may be on drugs or they may be intoxicated. We have a place that we have them to sit. We have people monitoring them, but they don't get up and stand over them. They just sit there and do their job, listen to the service, and just, but they're watching so that if anything gets out of hand, that they, you know, that they can handle that. And so that's why it's so important that the faith-based community be involved. When I was looking at it, and then what does God have to say about our mental attitude? That we know that God renews our mind and our souls. And this is in Romans 12 and 2 and Psalms 23 and 3. We know that he gives us peace and strength. This is in John 14 and 27 and also in Isaiah 41 and 10. And we know that in him we can find rest. And that is in Matthew 11:28. And we know that he works all things together for us. And he is near to us, to those who are struggling. And that's in Romans 8:28 and Psalms 34:18. And so what we have to do is we really have to give people positive feedback, even though we know that they're having some mental health crisis. We have to let them know that that God really cares about them, and that it is important to him that their health and wellness, mentally, be positive. And we this repeated information that we give to them, if we repeat it over and over and over again, hopefully it will resonate with them. We have seen some people, we've actually had people that come in that either because they were in our service or because they listened to our service, they did not do what they had planned, some like suicidal, some have changed their life around. I know we had one guy that came in and around. So we can make positive impacts as a faith-based community. We have to not be fearful of these people, cautious and monitoring, yes, but not fearful, and we have to be careful on how we treat them, because your attitude towards them also will create either a negative or a positive environment where they feel comfortable in coming to you. And so that is my program for tonight, is that we have to be mindful of the mental health of everybody that we come in contact and do our best to provide a positive impact. And you all have a good evening, and God bless you, and we'll see you the next time.